All right, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's good to have each and every one of you here tonight. I need to have those young people who are interested in going on the church planting home missions trip. I need you to sign up tonight. Can't forget, I need you to sign up tonight. So please do that because I need to make for sure reservations tomorrow. I need to have an accurate number. So tonight, please, please, please. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, let's stand. We'll begin in verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parent, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power of thereof, from such turn away. And I'll draw your attention back to verse number 4. There's a word there in this list of description of the latter-day sins. And that word is heady, and we're going to talk about that word tonight. H-E-A-D-Y, heady. And the name of tonight's message is slow down. Slow down. Let's go to the Lord for help, shall we? Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd meet with us tonight. And Lord, we need your presence. We thank you for the opportunity to gather here on a Wednesday night. And Lord, for that midweek booster shot, that midweek, Lord, spiritual vitamin, it helps us, keeps us headed in the right direction. It's great to be able to gather together and just be able to pray for each other, share prayer requests, and know that the family of God will be praying. And Lord, we thank you for the help you've been to our preacher and the progress he's seen. We pray that you would increase his strength day by day, Lord, and help him to a full recovery. For those others that have been mentioned, my goodness, so much is going on. And already, Lord, you've shown yourself so wonderful, and you've shown your grace to be so sufficient time and time again. And we know that those who need it right now, while this service is going on, will find that that grace is available for them also. And so be with them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to take a look at this word heady. There's a lot of times we go through a list in the Bible and we get used to reading it. And these sins that have been listed in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, are a list of the sins that will describe the time right before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I think he's soon to return. And one of the ways we know that is because you can look at this list, and we won't go through it tonight. We're not going to attempt that. But if we were to take the time to call these off one at a time, you could, and then had testimony time, we could have person after person after person stand up and say, have anybody seen in the last week evidences that men are lovers of their own self? Sure. Have any of you seen in the last week evidences of that this world is consumed with covetousness? And we could stand here literally and just take story after story, testimony after testimony, and we would all leave here in agreement that these sins are present and accounted for. Sure. They're all around us. And so we read through a list like this, and sometimes we'll kind of jump over some, and this may be one of those things that you wondered about. We want to make sure, one of the things that Pastor mentioned was about this that I'd never considered, but he said since Paul was writing this to Timothy under the inspiration of God's word, that he believes that these sins won't only be present in the world during the last days, but they'll be present in the church in the last days. And I hate to say that, but that's true. That's true. The church of this generation, this Laodicean age, the church has a tendency to be more interested in mimicking the world than they are mimicking the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's because of that, faulty thinking, it shouldn't surprise us that a lot of times the sins of the world find their way into the church. What does it mean to be heady? Heady means to fall, literally, comes from a Greek word which means to fall or falling forward. Literally, to go head first. It's talking about the tendency to be rash, the tendency to be reckless, the tendency to be impetuous, the tendency to act first and think later. And I think that that's something that we as Christians ought to guard against. It's a character flaw that can bring into your life a lot of heartache. You know, be very careful that you don't make rash decisions. Be very careful that you don't become reckless in the way that you live your life. What God's saying here and warning us about, and I think what God's saying to the Christian is, listen, slow down. Slow down. You see, the world runs at neck breaking speed. The world just runs in one gear and it's all out, flat out. And because of that, there's a lot of crashes. I was sitting back there thinking, hadn't thought of this earlier, but I was sitting there thinking when Pastor read the letter from Don Carney. Now, I've met Don Carney and I know Don Carney, but I never went to school with Don Carney. But I went to school with his younger brother, Dave Carney, that we also support, who is now on staff at BIMI as one of their staff members. Representatives. And me and Dave went to school together. And Dave, if you ever got to know Dave Carney, he's a fun guy. He really is. He's just an interesting character. I contend the man has a dual personality. I think he has two personalities. I think that what you'll find out is that Dave will sit back in the back. Dave has such a pulpit presence that it's just scary. He walks by the pulpit and he turns into like this preacher. And I mean, he's dignified. He does everything. He says all the right things. He phrases his sermons are in it. And then he goes back in the foyer and he turns into Dave, you know, and hey, man, let's go do this or let's go do that. I think he's got split personality problems. But when we were in college together, he's always looking around the area trying to find something exciting to do. And he come banging on my dorm door one day and said, "Hey, Jerry, come on, man, I found a place we got to go." I said, "Where are we going?" "Come on, just get in the car, I'll take you there." So we drive down and he pulls in the driveway and he won't tell me the whole way. He said, "Oh, this is so cool. The guy's going to give us a great deal. This is so cool." So he drives me down south on 41 and out in the boondock somewhere and off on a side road. And we pull in this driveway and there's this old dilapidated looking like a racetrack. And I said, "What is this?" He said, "It's a go-kart track." And he said, "The guy that owns it says he hardly gets any business, so we shouldn't have to wait." Well, I looked around and thought, of course he doesn't get any business. This place looks like it's fine. I mean, the sign was crooked. The track was a mess. And I said, "He's open?" Yeah, he's open. I was passing this, and I pulled in, and I said, "How much would you charge for an hour for me and my friend?" And he said, "I already paid him, man. He's giving it practically nothing." So I said, "Well, let's go meet the guy. I like go-karts." And so he showed us, and he wheels out these two go-karts. And I thought, "Yeah, well, amen. Yeah, I hope you got a good deal on this." I said, "Do they run?" "Oh, yeah, they run." He pulls and pulls and pulls and starts pulls, and he gets them both running. He said, "It's yours for an hour." He said, till the gas tank runs dry." I said, "Okay, let's go." Well, me and Dave went out there, and for about 20, 30 minutes, we just had the time of our life. We're racing around that track, cutting each other off, and Dave's pretty competitive. I'm pretty competitive, so we'd take off, and then I'd swear he had the faster go-kart, so we'd switch go-karts, and then he'd still beat me. And then and he's just crazy. And we'd buzz around there. I'd win one, he'd win one, and we'd try it a different way. And you know, the guy just went back in the house. He didn't care. But after about 20 minutes of this, we're going flat out around that track. And this was like the tie break after the tie break after the tie break after the tie break that was going to be make you the world champion go-kart racer of the universe or something like that. And we were racing around this track, and it was one of those things. We were doing five laps, and we got down to that fourth lap, and I mean, we're just tire to tire, neck to neck. We're brushing each other. I felt like Dale Earnhardt, man. I wanted to hit him in the back end and make him spin out, you know, and then jump off my bike later and say, "Intimidator," you know. But we're wheel to wheel, you know, fighting it, and I'm looking over at him, he's looking over at me, and And we're coming into this last curve, and I mean, I know it's going to be down the stretch. It's going to, and this is winner take all. This is for all the trash talk for the last, you know, 30 minutes since we've been there. And I'm holding on to that thing so tight, and I'm looking over at him, and we're coming out of the curve. And all of a sudden, my hands just went like that. And I've got the steering wheel. You know, I don't know what to do, so I reached down, grabbed this thing, and I'm like this. You know, that doesn't do anything. And I look up, and there's these wall of tires coming at me. Just wham! I flip the bike, and Dave, you know, he looks back and laughs and goes ahead and crosses the finish line and goes on around and finally pulls over, and I'm laying underneath the go-kart. It's on top of me, and I'm laying there, and I think, well, you know, maybe if he thinks I'm really hurt, he'll... He'll let me have a rematch or something like that. And so he said, "You okay?" He said, "What happened, man? You lost it on that curb." Out from underneath the go-kart comes his hand with a steering wheel. And I like that. I just handed it to him. Oh, man. I said, "Yeah, you got a great deal, Dave. You almost got me killed." You know, if you're not careful in life, you can get going too fast. If you're not careful in life, you can just kind of get to this head first and become impetuous, become reckless. And the faster you go, I can beat everybody else. And a lot of times what God's saying here is, folks, be careful. This is not a good thing in a lot of instances. This can be a character flaw. Don't become heady. And I think it's paired with high-minded there on purpose. Don't become heady. Don't become high-minded. Because a lot of times we get to be heady or reckless when we get to be high-minded and think we know the answer every time. Or we always know what to do. We don't need to ask anybody. We just, anything I face, boom, 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 I can take it. Well, wait a minute. You're not careful. You're leaving out somebody pretty important.
Amen.
You know, you've got to be careful here. The idea of falling forward head first. Let me just give you three areas real quick. We're going to do a little word study on this, a little Bible study on this. There's three areas that I think the Bible teaches, and there's probably more, but there's three areas we're going to look at tonight where I think we got to be careful about going too fast. So some areas we need to just slow down. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 29. Let's use our Bibles tonight. It's Bible study night, amen? So that's a good thing. Turn the pages, look at the verses. I could read them to you, but I think sometimes just looking there in the book that's in your lap and realizing this is the Word of God. Look what it says. He's telling me the truth. Look at the words. There it is. God wants us to slow down sometimes. Look at it, if you will, in Proverbs 14, verse number 29. Proverbs 14, verse number 29. God sometimes says, hey, you're going a little quicker. You need to slow down. Verse number 29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit, did you get that? Hasty of spirit exalteth folly. And a lot of times, folks, number one, we need to be careful. We do not make decisions too quickly. Number one, be careful about making decisions too quickly. Let me just especially caution those of you that are young couples. Those of you that maybe haven't been married all that long. Let me tell you something. There's a reason that you see mom and dad and older folks taking some time before they make important decisions, because you know why they were doing that? Probably because when they were your age, they made some bad decisions quick and they've learned to slow down. Be very careful about making decisions too quickly. I'm talking about big decisions. I'm talking about small decisions. I'm talking about financial decisions. Be very, very careful. You know, the world's way is to pressure you. The world's way is to try to pressure you into feeling like you've got to make a decision now. And sometimes a decision does need to be made, but a lot of times it does not need to be made now. The car starts breaking down, and it breaks down two or three times. And you know what? As a young person, it's easy to just get frustrated. You know what I just need to do? I just need to, well, I mean, they're offering 0% interest, and I just need to go. And next thing you know, if you're not careful, you can get yourself into something that you could take 5 or 6 years to regret. Make decisions slowly. One of the things Dad taught us growing up, and I think it's just so wise, folks, listen, if you're going to go out and make any kind of major purchase, I'm talking about a home, I'm talking about a car, I'm talking about appliance, I'm talking about something that's going to set you back something that's going to cost you something. You know what? Is it really going to hurt to sleep on it?
Right.
Very seldom should you ever go out to look at something and buy it the same day. Now, if I just gave you that, if you don't get anything else from that, and I'm talking about all the way to a 12, 13-year-old boy, this will help you all through your life, a young girl, a young couple. You know what? More times than not, if you buy something because you're feeling pressured, you're making a wrong purchase. Okay? You got to watch these Tom Daffrons out there, all right? I mean, they're all over the place out there. But no, Tom's not like that. But you know, a lot of people there, you know why they're pressuring? You know why they keep telling you how good you look in that? And you know how important, what a wise decision you're making? It's called commission. That's why they keep telling you how wise you are in getting this. And you know, you'll try to put it off. And I know Tom's tricks. All of these guys are the same. But you know, they'll always tell you when you start to walk away, you know, well, okay, I mean, and maybe it'd be good for you. But remember, we do have three or four of the people looking at it, you know. Now listen to me, folks. Listen to me. You know, why don't we all learn to relax? You know, I think you can pray about something and trust God and take your time and don't get in a panic. And you know what? If you do wait a day or two to pray about something and go back and it's gone,
that's right.
Probably wasn't God's will anyway.
That's
you know, right. You've got a lot better chance not making a bad decision by waiting than you are by moving ahead quickly. Here you go, head first. Well, I got to do something about this, and so I'll just get it. You know, and now listen to me. Be careful. You get in the habit of making those types of decisions, you're going to dig yourself a hole that you're going to have to spend half your lifetime trying to get back out of. And so be very careful. Do not make decisions quickly. Do not make decisions quickly. He that is of a hasty spirit exalteth folly. You know, I drive by a place from time to time that's very near to here and not too far down the road. And when me and Cheryl, came here to work at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, it's been 10 years ago now, we came to work here. We wanted to buy a place, and we asked the Lord, when we'd never bought a place up to that time in our marriage, we hadn't bought, we'd always rented, and I said, Lord, well, I don't know how it can be done, and I don't know, you'd have to work out some amazing things, but this is my heart's desire, I'd like to buy a place. And there's a place that we kind of looked at, and you know, we were just wanting to get down here. We were just wanting to get moved. We just wanted to buy a place. We just wanted to have something of our own. You know, you just get to that point, you just want something to work out. And I remember we found this one place, and I just told her, I think this is it. We just got to work this out. Somehow we got to work it out. And I'd go forward on it and run into a wall, and I'd try to go around that wall and run into another wall, and I'd try to, and you know, at some point, and then it looked like it was going to work out, then it looked like it wasn't going to work out, then it looked like it was going to work out, then it looked like it didn't want to work out. And I finally got to the point where I just come home one day, and I was so frustrated. You know, listen, finding the will of God. By the way, I'm going to tell you something, Pastor. I was gone the Sunday night. I was over preaching at Good Shepherd the Sunday night. You preached that message, knowing how to know the will of God. I listened to that tape today. I want to say this from the pulpit. That is a masterpiece. You ought to get that tape, and you ought to listen to it over and over and over and over and over. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. There is more wisdom in that one sermon, and more wisdom to keep you from making wrong mistakes in that sermon than it really is. If you weren't here, you ought to get the tape. If you were here, you ought to get the tape. And you ought to listen to it and listen to it and listen to it and listen to it, because I'll tell you. But you know, a lot of times what we do, we make a mistake because we get, we hear, heady, reckless, got to do it, I got to get this done.
Yeah.
Just take a breath. Take a breath. And I finally come home one day and I said, you know what? Why I shouldn't be beating my head. This, you know, I think it's of God. God's going to take care of it.
That's it.
And we just kind of finally let our hands off the situation. And you know what? It went away. And it wasn't probably a month later, we got a call from a realtor that I'd called months before and hadn't talked to since, and said, you still looking for a place? And you know what? We went out there and looked at this place that we live at now, and I looked over at Cheryl, and she looked at me, and I said, wow. And I said, well, let's just give it to God. If it works out, it does. And you know what? God opened every door, and it just went right through. And I can't tell you how many times. Are you young couples listening to me? I can't tell you how many times I've driven by that place that I was just agonizing over, beating my head against the wall to get. And I look at that place now and thought, why did I want that? I mean, you know, but it's amazing. We get infatuated with something. We get, but I seen this. Oh, but mom, this car. Oh, you know, kids, there's a lot of cars out there.
Amen.
have you noticed there is a whole lot of cars out there? Oh, but this one, and oh, it's gonna, and the guy said that, oh, and it's gonna send, oh, it's a, we're never gonna. There's a lot of cars out there. You know, don't take your time. Pray about it. Be careful. Is it the decision that you ought to make? Is it really a direction you ought to be going? Is there some other plan? It doesn't hurt to make some phone calls. It doesn't hurt to get some advice from some people that know a little more maybe in that area than you do. Be careful just about making decisions too quickly. So be careful about being heady. Do not make decisions quickly. Do not make decisions quickly. Number two. Let's get to go to here. James chapter number one. Let's go there. James chapter number one. I'm going to give you three areas that I think if we would be careful in, it would erase so many problems, so many heartaches, keep us from having to spend our time trying to undo so many things. Listen, the world is going to become heady. Well, let them. But the Christian ought to say, you know what, there's a God in charge of everything, and he knows when, and he knows where, and he knows why, and he knows what, and if I stay behind him and follow, then you know what, I'll be all right. Number one, do not make decisions quickly. Number two, do not make statements quickly. James chapter number 1 and verse number 19. James chapter number 1, verse number 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. So he's going to give you one fast and two slow. Swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now, if you want to be fast at something, oh, but I know you're telling me to slow down, but man, I'm just one of these. Okay, if you want to be fast at something, here's God's suggestion. If you want to be fast at something, be fast to hear.
Amen.
Yeah. Be fast to listen. I mean, be the first one in line with your ear open. Be the first one on the phone to get advice. If you want to be fast at something, be fast at getting good counsel. Get fast at getting good advice. Be fast at listening to when somebody wiser than you, especially somebody that's a Christian, loves the Lord, and walks with him, and they're there to help you, love you. If they give you some advice, listen to it. If you want to be fast at something, be fast at listening. But don't be fast at talking.
Amen.
Well, folks, we cause so much many problems sometimes just opening our mouths too fast.
Yeah.
I mean, we really do. We can get ourselves in so much trouble. I teach the young people one of the things that we go through, and we taught it this year in Bible class. I like to cover with our young people the 10 laws of excellent speech. We won't cover them tonight. But I think that if you'll just pass some laws and just say, you know what, there's some things that I will use this thing for, and there's some things I won't use this thing for, and I'm going to be a person of principle, and I'm going to see what the Bible says I shouldn't use my mouth for and what I should use my mouth for, and I'm going to follow those principles, then you'd be surprised how much heartache it keeps you from.
Yes.
You'd be surprised how many times you've hurt somebody's feelings that you wouldn't have had to hurt their feelings. You know, we ought to get in the habit of slowing down when it comes to saying something.
Yes.
Slow down. You know, just because it pops in your little head doesn't mean you ought to say it.
Yeah, that's right.
Slow down. Okay?
Amen.
Yeah. I think it was Grandpa Ogle that had a little sign in his living room that said, be sure brain is in gear before engaging mouth.
Amen.
You ever strip the gears? I have. Take the time to think before you speak.
That's right.
Let me tell you what our problem is. We're intimidated. I told you before, we're controlled sometimes by pressure. And that's why we make decisions too quickly. Let me show you another one. Sometimes we're intimidated and controlled by silence.
You're right. You're absolutely.
You know, somebody says something to you or asks you a question, and then it gets quiet, and you feel like, you know, silence bothers people. Silence scares people and intimidates people.
Yes. You're right.
See? See how uncomfortable you're feeling right now? We have a little lull where no one's talking, and we think, well, someone ought to say something. I mean, it's just quiet. You know, quiet's not so bad.
Amen.
So a lot of times people come to you, and they'll ask you questions, especially the world or carnal Christians like to ask you loaded questions.
Right.
It's not because they're seeking wisdom and seeking knowledge. It's because they're trying to get you to say something stupid.
That's right.
And we usually oblige them. you know. You know, the old one that's always used is, you know, this guy walks up to you and says, "Do you still beat your wife?" Well, you can't win. If you say yes, you're in trouble. If you say no, you're in trouble. Either way, you're guilty, you know.
Right.
And the world's pretty good at asking loaded questions.
Yes, they are.
You know, people are real good at picking up the phone and asking you questions where you're in a no-win situation, but you feel like you got to get some answer. You know, sometimes silence is a good answer.
Absolutely.
By the way, Jesus did that.
Yes, he did.
Sometimes the question that was asked wasn't deserving of a response.
That's correct.
Sometimes a good stare helps.
Yeah.
Then they'll back up and try to rephrase it, and back up and try to rephrase it, and you just let them wiggle.
Absolutely.
If it's the wrong kind of question, then it shouldn't get an answer.
That's
right.
But our pride, you know, we do have all the answers. We are all wise. Somebody asks us something, we got to come up with something, even if we don't know what we're talking about. So be careful.
Right.
You know, you go up to a young person, you ask them a question, they'll pop off an answer.
Mm-hmm.
You go to Brother Townsley and ask him a question, you may have to stand there 15 minutes before you get an answer, you know. So.
Absolutely.
And you know what the sad part is? Some of you young people think, you know, when they ask an old person a question, an older person with 10 great-grandchildren, so... But they ask an older person a question, they kind of stop for a minute and stop and look down and look around and think, you know what a young person, because they're not too smart, you know what they think? Good night. What's their problem?
Yeah.
Their problem is they're obeying the Bible.
Absolutely.
Problem is your question you ask them is important. It was important to you or you wouldn't have asked it. And they have lived long enough to realize that the answer that they give you needs to be correct. It needs to be accurate. It needs to be well thought out. And so sometimes, folks, people won't answer questions. Some questions shouldn't be answered.
Amen.
Sometimes people ask a question and they're sincere about it. But you know what? The question may not be forthcoming. And maybe shouldn't be, because, folks, listen to me. Be careful.
Yes.
What you say.
That's right.
When a young person comes up and asks you a question, by the way, let's all of us adults learn a little wisdom here. Can we all learn together here? A lot of times when a young person approaches you with a question, they've already slanted the question in such a way because they want the answer that they want.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
And it's easy just to want to be their buddy and make them happy, so you give them the answer they want. I got an idea. Why don't you give them a biblical answer? Why don't you give them a scriptural answer? Why don't you give them an answer that reflects true godly wisdom?
Yes.
Okay? They need the truth. They don't need to have some wrong thinking reinforced. Okay? So be careful. Be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. People ask you something, it's a good idea to hesitate and think it through and back it up, chew it over for a minute.
Absolutely.
Now, you know, what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something. I'm not talking about, you got a little kid and he's dancing around, you say which way, he says which way is the bathroom. You know? Just say, go there, go! You know? Don't sit there and go, I need to pray about this. Don't do that, you know. But you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people come to you and they've got questions. And sometimes, you know, sometimes just that silence of thinking about things. And then giving them a good biblical answer. Be careful. When someone asks a question, you sometimes feel obligated to answer quickly. Be careful. The Bible instructs us to be slow to speak. Ask yourself this question, is this something that I should be talking about?
That's right.
Sometimes the best answer to a question is, you know what, that question wasn't really probably a very wise question.
That's right.
I don't really see where it's any of your business or mine, so I'm not going to answer it. And I would just advise you this to maybe rethink that before you ask somebody else.
Yep.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with some of the old gray heads? What's happened with some of us that are supposed to be adults?
Yep.
Guiding some of these kids right. Nothing wrong with that. There was nothing mean about that.
No, absolutely.
There was nothing mean about that. And by the time they go home and tell you, it will be we screamed at him and kicked him or called him a name. But,
right.
You know, not all questions ought to be answered. Is this something I ought to be talking about? If not, don't answer. Not every question asked should be answered. Jesus simply often ignored loaded questions. He would oftentimes answer a question with a question. Why? He was searching out their motive for asking. Now, we ought to use a lot of wisdom before we just speak.
Amen.
It can take a lot of brains just to blurt out the first thing that comes in your mind. And that doesn't take a lot of intelligence and wisdom. It takes some wisdom to say, you know what? Who's asking this? Where are they coming from? What are they? What's their real motive and purpose behind it? And then I want to be a blessing and help to them. Lord, I want to genuinely help them. So help me to phrase an answer that would be like an answer Christ would give.
Yes.
Does that make sense to you?
Sure.
We're not going to do that if we say the first thing that comes out of our mouth. God says, listen, be swift to hear, slow to speak.
Yep.
Slow down. You know, let me just tell you, the tendency is, the younger they are, usually the faster they speak. And it is a weakness of youth sometimes to just think, well, I know the answer to that. Well, I know what to do. Well, I know the answer to that. You know, you ought to just kind of sometimes think about it. Think about it. Look around at some of the older folks, and when they feel like it's time to talk, it might be a good time to talk.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help you here. I'm giving you some wisdom. Amen? All right. We sometimes make decisions too quickly. We make statements too quickly. Let's finish up with this because it's right there in the same verse. We're going to go look at a couple more verses and we'll wrap this up. But I think, you know what? When do we get ourselves in trouble? When we make decisions too quickly. When do we get ourselves in trouble? When we make statements too quickly. When do we get ourselves in trouble? When we get angry too quickly.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, folks, if you got a short fuse, you're going to have a rough life. The Bible says this, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. By the way, you'll never find anywhere in the Bible that God doesn't say that we shouldn't at times be angry. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. There's times you ought to get mad at something. You ought to just take a long time getting it up to full steam. Because a lot of times what we do is we get angry at something. When you get angry at something real quick, a lot of times it's the wrong thing to be mad at in the first place. All right, let's look at that. Is this what the Bible teaches? Well, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 14. All right, let's look at a few verses, all right? We'll look at three quick verses in Proverbs 14, then we'll wrap this thing up. Now be careful, be careful. God has a lot to say about this idea of flying off the handle, this idea of getting mad quick. We read this verse, but Proverbs 14:29, we focus on the last half of it. But look at the first half. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. Boy, it takes a long time to get that person mad. It seems like it takes a lot to get that person mad. Let me tell you something about that person. He's probably a man or a woman of great understanding. Great understanding. I don't think anything will get you more in trouble in life than just walking around going off the handle on everything that just doesn't hit you just right. Well, you don't understand. It's just, you know what? It's just my temperament. You know, temperament's got been blamed for a lot of our sin.
Absolutely.
Just the way I am. Well, you can undo that too, you know.
That's right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, it's just my Irish heritage. Blame it on the Irish? No, it's not. We got all kinds of reasons, excuses why we have a hot head, but it don't amount to a hill of beans, God says. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. Look at chapter 15, verse number 18. Look at chapter 15, verse number 18. Notice this. A wrathful man stirreth up strife. This is why we ought to be slow to anger. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Let me ask you this. Are you a peacemaker or a peace breaker? Are you a peacemaker or a peace breaker? Is everything going pretty good in the family till you wake up? Well, the Bible says one of the reasons you ought to be slow to anger is because someone who is wrathful, listen, someone that's got a short fuse, you go around and follow them throughout the day, and you know what you're going to find that they leave in their wake? A lot of strife.
Yes.
Dads, let me help you with something here. We got to get off this thing of flying off the handle at our kids. Get off this thing of flying off the handle at your kids. Now, I spanked their little bottoms for throwing a temper tantrum when they were 1 and 2. Why do I have a right to do it? I didn't say sometimes you shouldn't get angry at something that they're doing, but you know what? You ought to take a long time to build up that head of steam. As you go around and exploding, walk in this room, explode! A few minutes later, you walk in this room, explode! You know, the honest truth is, kids that live in those kind of households really usually lack a real sense of security.
Sure.
They never know when the bomb's going off.
Right.
Honestly, you know, and that doesn't mean that if there's wrong behavior or there's disobedience, it shouldn't be dealt with. But, you know, there's a way to deal with it. Amen. And it's not by exploding.
Amen.
You know, me and Cheryl, we made disagreement early on in our marriage, long before the kids begin to come. But you know what? I want to live. She wants to live. And I think we're both healthier and better for it. I'm not going to live in a tornado zone in my house. I'm not going to live in a screaming, hollering, arguing, fit throwing. You know what? I'm going to get along with her. She's going to get along with me. I'm going to get along with the kids, and they're going to get along with us, or we'll kill them. But we can have more. Amen? So, and I'm not going to be angry when I do it. I'm just going to, you know, I love you. You know, and that'll be it. Now, I'm kidding. I mean that. I don't go and bust in the door of one of my girls' rooms. I don't get in their face and holler at them. I don't scream at them. You know what? I basically just don't lift. I don't lift my voice. Unless they're on the back 40 somewhere and I'm trying to get them to come home for supper. You know, I don't. You know, it's just as easy to walk over one room and talk to them as a scream from two rooms over. You know, I'm just not going to turn, you know, we're not going to have this shouting, yelling. And I don't mean just the parents. I mean, it's not going to go in between the kids.
Amen.
I mean, what kind of, where's that Christian?
Amen.
Are you understanding me?
Yes.
You know, you can stir up strife, or you can learn to appease strife.
That's correct.
You can walk around light and fuses, or you can go away. What do they call it when they take a bomb that's ticking away and they make it so it doesn't tick anymore? Disarm.
Diffuse, disarm.
All those things. You can do that. You know the mark of a wise man? Listen to me. The mark of a wise man is someone who can walk, or a wise woman is someone who can walk into a situation where there's tension, there's strife, and there's borderline potential for a real, and know how to disarm that, know how to diffuse that. Understand? That's a man of, the Bible says, of great understanding. Okay? And it doesn't mean that you, listen, I'm not talking about compromising. I'm not talking about being soft soaping. I'm not talking about just saying, getting, you know, okay and everything so that everybody gets along. I'm talking about correcting when it needs to be corrected and doing what's right and steering the ship in the right direction,
right,
but not being a ranting maniac while you're doing it.
Right.
Amen. Amen. This is a blessing, folks. It is. Look at chapter number 16, verse 32. We'll read this. We'll make a comment or two. We'll pray, and we'll have our invitation. Proverbs 16, verse 32. You ought to underline this. This is a very, very important verse. Extremely important verse. No door slamming in my house. No temper tantrums. No stomping off to your room.
Amen.
What is that? There's a problem. We come in and we sit down and we deal with this problem. We do it in a sensible manner, sensible Christian manner. Amen? 32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And this is where it comes boils down to, and he that ruleth his own spirit than he that taketh the city. He said, you know what, if you can find somebody that can conquer themselves, they are more mighty than someone who can single-handedly conquer a walled city.
You're right.
And the person that'll give you the most trouble, our preachers taught us this for years, the person that gets you the most trouble during the day is going to be the one you look in the mirror at every day. If you can learn to control that rascal, you know what? Mastering other people and helping other people and being a blessing to other people is not going to be that hard. But the real battle is self-control. So don't be quick to anger. Don't get angry quickly. Now, you say, Brother Jerry, I've heard stories, though. I mean, I've heard about some of the school opening assemblies. I've heard of chapel sometimes. The kids say sometimes you can really get mad. I got parents that say, my kid's scared of you. I just always smile. I can't imagine that. Why would anybody be scared of me, Cassie? That doesn't make any sense, does it? You know what? If I get mad, it's because I've planned it, decided to, and when I do, and it's right to do, then I carry it out to the full measure of my personal talents and ability. I've never gone to Pastor Ross in his office and had him say, there's a situation going on that I've caught wind of, there's some things going on, or I've had to come in with a thing, and we've talked about it. We sit down and talk about it in a sensible manner. We review it from all angles. If he feels like he needs to go down, I mean, there was a time towards the end of the year where Pastor Ross made a stop in the junior high and high school learning center. I think some of the paint still curled off the walls. But I guarantee you, I talked to him before and I talked to him after those sessions. He's pretty calm both times. We can be joking out in the hallway a few minutes, if I'll be back. And all of a sudden I hear, rah! Comes back out. Let's go get something to eat. All right, okay. Why? Because he decided, by the way, he wasn't just playing with him. There's some things that go on that, you know what, the people in charge used to need to say, hey, you know what, I'm going to tell you something, this is going to stop.
That's right.
There's some things worth getting mad about, by the way. I read the paper and I get mad. I watch some of this foolishness going on in the news and I get mad. I see what's going on in Massachusetts, I get mad. But you know, we ought to have a Bible reason for getting mad. And even then, folks, there's a difference between saying, listen, I've examined this, I've studied this, this is wrong, and you know what? It needs to be faced with a good, stern front. There's a difference between that and just having somebody say something that hurts your feelings so you're going to rip them, or you're going to go off on them, or you're going to throw a temper. There's a big difference there. Are you listening? Be careful, folks, because we all deal with the old man, and we've got to watch because he a lot of time wants to be heady. Heady. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.